السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. مسیح موعود علیہ السلام فرماتے ہیں
The promised Messiah on whom be peace has said in one place, God alone possesses the true authority and power to provide help to others. This means that in accomplishing any task, help is only required from the being of God. It is God alone who can in the true sense provide you with succor, and God alone possesses the strength and might to extend His assistance, and He does so. This is such an important point that a true believer should keep it in view at all times. This is whether it relates to help sought for personal needs or for the needs of the Jamaat. However, we observe practically that despite this importance, generally people do not give as much attention to this as should be given. There are many among us who do say outwardly that God the Almighty has conferred His blessings and grace upon us, and my needs and wishes have thus been fulfilled. But if we were to study and assess our own state and condition in depth and in profound detail, then we see that we normally say that the help and support that others have offered us is the true means and source of our desires and our requirements being fulfilled. Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, has cited various examples in the context of various occasions and circumstances where man believes that the help and support and assistance that he has been conferred is through various people. Or he believes that through his own strength and ability, he has accomplished his objectives. Generally, this is the first stage in the condition where a person assumes that I will fulfill all my wishes, desires, needs, and requirements on my own.
خود پوری کر لوں گا
through his strength, his knowledge, his intellect, he does, to some extent, fulfill his requirements. In such a state, he thinks that, look, using my strength, my faculties, and my abilities, I have solved all my problems on my own. And he even boasts and feels pride on the fact that he has not taken assistance or help from anyone else. However, at times, a circumstance befalls a person when he is unable to fulfill all his requirements on his own. He is thus compelled to seek external help. In such a state, he then looks to his family and relatives, and he takes assistance from them. His family and relatives indeed extend him with assistance. Here he thinks that having my family and relatives is something very good and positive. For if today I did not have these relatives or family members, I would have been unable to fulfill my needs and wishes. Another circumstance then faces a person, where a person's family, relatives, and other close ones can give him no benefit or not provide him with any help, or perhaps do not extend him with assistance. In such a state, when he looks around, his glance falls upon his friends and acquaintances. These are those people who he believes can provide him with help. He seeks assistance from them, and indeed they do give him support. So then in this circumstance, he thinks that having friends and acquaintances is something very good, for they helped me and benefited me in a time of difficulty. Then a person faces a time or circumstance where he goes to his friend for help, but they cite compelling factors for which they cannot provide help. These may be genuine excuses or just an excuse to remove an unwanted burden or providing help. Whatever the case may be, those friends can be of no benefit to him in this circumstance. Indeed, there are times when it is beyond the strength or ability of the friends to provide him help for that task. At such a time, a person turns to certain organizations. In this, the community or the Jamaat or whatever organization he is linked to provides him with help. His needs are then fulfilled by them, and in fact they continuously provide him with support, and this leads him to think that connecting with the Jamaat or with the organization is something very good and positive. As a result, his bond with the community or the Jamaat strengthens. In fact, at times I have observed that sometimes people falter and stumble because they feel that they were not helped by the Jamaat at a time when they asked for it. Nevertheless, it is also true that when sometimes tasks are performed according to one's will or help is extended to the person in accordance with their desires, that can prove to be a means of enhancing the connection with the Jamaat. Then, sometimes a person faces a time in his life where his family, relatives, friends, and acquaintances, and even at times due to certain restrictions, the Nizam or the Jamaat all cannot provide him with any help. None of these things can give him benefit in that circumstance. In such a predicament, he turns towards the government he is living under, and the government may indeed provide him with some help. In this situation, the person believes that the government is everything for him, and all else is removed from his mind or pales into insignificance. But we also observe that a time comes when even the government does not support a person. A person thinks that his rights are not being given to him, and that justice is not being served. At such a time, a person knocks at the door of those who work under the banner of human rights and human sympathy. These human rights organizations then indeed do provide him with some help. A wave of human rights is created, which spreads sometimes over countries or even the entire world. As a result of this human sympathy and compassion, that person, that group, that organization, or those people are successful in achieving their objectives. Then they, or if it is one person, he thinks that the entire world in unison, or all the human rights organizations, have together proved to benefit him, whilst no one else could. He thinks that if they did not benefit him, then he would have remained deprived of attaining his rights and being given justice. So thus, those who under the banner of human rights extended him with help, he considers his worldly connection with them to be everything. Today, the human rights organizations operate on a national and international level. They fight legal battles with worldly governments for the attaining of rights. And they try to assert international pressure to this end. Some of these carry out very good work and assist people who are embroiled in difficulties. However, we can also not deny the fact that a time is also faced by a person when neither his efforts and plans prove to be of any benefit, nor do his family and relatives, neither do his friends or acquaintances, and nor does his country or organizations. And neither, for that matter, does the government or human rights organizations prove to be a source for his success. And he does not see his success through any of these means. If, despite all of this, a person is able to achieve his objective and attain success, he thinks that his success surely occurred due to some unseen help. The more one believes that he has been helped through the unseen, the more does he attribute his success to God the Almighty. I mentioned human rights organizations. Nowadays, as Ahmadis would be quite considerably aware, that in various countries there are Ahmadis who are caught up in asylum cases for which they are waiting. There are various organizations of this kind, including one major organization under the banner of the United Nations, who make efforts for human rights. However, sometimes a situation arises where governments do not even listen to them. So nonetheless, when all of the aforementioned circumstances befall a person, yet he accomplishes his tasks, he thinks that some unseen force or entity has supported and helped him. If he believes in God, he then associates this with the help of God. However, if a person had full and complete belief in God, and he understood and comprehended the fact that God alone possesses the true authority, power and strength to help anyone, he would consider any help he received from others, any support from an external body which helped him accomplish his task or give him success, to be in fact the help of God. He will also be aware of the reality that the help conferred to him by his family, relatives, friends, nation, government, or human rights organizations, or whoever may have extended him with assistance, all of that help was in fact the help of Allah the Almighty. Behind all of these apparent means of help and support was the Almighty hand of God. Those who do not have a strong bond and relationship with Allah the Almighty continue to consider the worldly means and sources to be everything, and their attention remains fixed upon these worldly means. They do not turn towards God the Almighty. However, when all of these means prove to be of no avail to him, only then does his attention turn towards God. Because in that situation, there was no other way for him apart from God, for he had already tried and exhausted all worldly means. Then he says, O Allah, only if you provide me help will this work be accomplished. You are the possessor of all powers. All praise is due to you. So this also proves, and this fact also indicates, that however big plan or scheme one forms, however powerful the government or organization, all have limited powers and influence. And all these worldly powers and plans, after a certain extent, become useless and can give no benefit. I earlier mentioned that those who do not possess a strong relationship with God the Almighty initially consider worldly supports and helps to be everything. When these worldly sources of assistance prove to be of no benefit to him, they then turn towards God. But this is not only a matter relating to those who do not have a strong relationship with God. In fact, the Holy Quran has said that in such a situation of despair and helplessness, even atheists spontaneously turn towards God. Thus, Allah the Almighty says in the Holy Quran, وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ذَلَّ مَن تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَّا الْبَرَّ أَعْرَضْتُمْ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ذَلَّ مَن تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. Meaning, and when harm touches you on the sea, all those whom you call upon except him become lost to you. But when he brings you safe to land, you turn aside, and man is very ungrateful. So thus at times of difficulty and in storms, God says that man calls out to him. When he is in safety, man forgets God. This is human nature, that in times of hardship and difficulty, with immense humility, he submits and prostrates towards God. He forsakes all other sources of help and people. In this state, he prays and supplicates to God alone, that if God saves him from this predicament and difficult situation, he pledges to always consider God alone as a true source of help and assistance, and they will only call out to him. However, as soon as they pass through the difficult, dangerous or threatening situation, worldliness, arrogance and vanity once again emerge in him. As such, man is hugely ungrateful and immensely selfish. Observe how vast and encompassing the mercy and compassion of God is. Despite God possessing the knowledge that as soon as he reaches the safety of land, man will rebel and become distant from God, this humbleness, humility, and state of distress and anguish in prayer is only temporary. Despite this, God the Almighty accepts the prayer of one in distress and anxiety and saves and protects him. Yet, people allege, God forbid, that God the Almighty is cruel and unjust. Hazrat Musleh Maud has cited an example with relation to such people who do not believe in God, yet at times of difficulty they utter the name of God. At the time of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, he made prophecies regarding earthquakes, and a major earthquake did strike. So at this time in Lahore, there was a medical student who on a daily basis would debate regarding the existence of God, to the extent that he would deride and mock. When the earthquake struck, he felt the roof was about to fall down in the room he was. He was convinced that no power could prevent the roof from falling down. Because he belonged to a Hindu household, he ineluctably started saying Ram Ram. The following day, his friends questioned him, "What happened to you at the time? You do not believe in God, yet you are screaming Ram Ram." According to Hindus, Ram is said for God. So he responded that, "I have no idea what happened, for I was not in my senses. But the truth is, he was in his senses and he did utilize his wisdom. When all worldly supports and means of help obscured before him, and instead he saw only one source of succor and support, who is the possessor of all powers. Apart from God the Almighty, no other helper was seen by him. So as long as a person sees other sources or means of help before him, he continues to derive assistance from them and gives attention towards their support. As long as one's faith is imperfect and incomplete in God, and he continues to see other sources of help and support before him, he will go on praising and flattering them to the extent that he disparages all others to the limit needlessly. He commits one sin after the other. But when he sees no other source of help, he calls out to God. When he is disappointed and frustrated from all sides, and no apparent means can be availed to him, he then gives attention to God and calls out to him. He praises Allah the Almighty, and he expresses his desperation and despair before him. Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, would similarly relate another incident from World War I. He would say himself that he had related this incident several times previously. This relates to circumstances when even atheists come to believe in God. The incident goes as follows. In 1918, during World War I, Germany mustered all his strength to attack the Allied forces. A time was faced by the Allied forces when they had no means of escape and rescue. The 7-mile-long defense line was destroyed. A section of the army was dispersed on one side, whilst another dispersed on the other. The gap between was so huge that the German forces could easily have gone through this gap and flanked them from behind and annihilated them. In this predicament, the general notified the commander-in-chief that he did not have sufficient size of a force, and he explained the situation that had arisen. He said it was now beyond his control to repair the broken defense line. This was a time when they thought that today our army would be annihilated and all trace and name of France and England would be wiped away. In this state of extreme helplessness, the commander's telegram was received that now destruction was inevitable. On receipt of the telegram of the commander, the Prime Minister was holding a meeting with his ministers, seeking consultation regarding an important matter. Having been notified of the situation, there was nothing the Prime Minister could have done. First of all, there was no extra army reserve. Even if there had been, no force could have been deployed so quickly there. Hazrat Musleh Maud said, Christianity may indeed be the religion of Europe, but if we look and study closely inside, we see that it is absolutely hollow. Practically speaking, the majority of people are immersed in materialism and are atheists. And now 80%, practically speaking, declare themselves as atheists. So nevertheless, that materialistic Europe, who generally did not turn towards God, for they were greatly proud and vain upon their own resources. And such a section of the people who is ruling the government would be extremely proud and vain upon their power and might. Any belief in God would be in name alone. So at the time, the biggest and greatest leader, who was completely lost in his power, might and glory, believing that they were the allied forces and therefore victory was destined for them. He even felt in that situation that there was no apparent means that could help them and save them from this crisis. He looked towards his colleagues and said, "Come, let us pray to God to help us." Subsequently, all knelt down and began to pray. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, "It is small wonder that they were saved from being annihilated as a result of that prayer." So as I have just read from this Quranic verse, that in times of difficulty, there is no one else who can or does help you. It is only the being of God which benefits you. In fact, Allah the Almighty says, prayers that are made in a state of distress are accepted, even if it be an atheist supplicating. God Almighty at times displays His signs to prove His existence to atheists. If they are fortunate, that sign becomes a means of catering for their life in this world and the next. Today also, there are numerous incidents where atheists witness some sign and then come to believe in God. Indeed, if one tries to contend with the Prophet and his community, however much he tries to pray in a state of distress for this, it would go unaccepted. For this supplication would be in contradiction to that decree of Allah which is bound to occur, for it is a promise of God that his prophets will prevail and succeed. Nevertheless, in the battle between Germany and Britain, both the parties were the same. This is why Allah the Almighty accepted the prayer from one side made by humility, and such a situation was brought about, where the German forces could not become aware that the rank of the opposing army before them had broken apart. Thus, they could not avail from that breaking up of the rank of the army. Further, the incident goes that it was not just that the Germans could not become aware of this situation, which is why the tide of war could not turn in their favor, In fact, furthermore, the commander-in-chief summoned one of his officers, upon whom he had the conviction that he was very able and efficient, and thus he would be unable to form his own strategy. He said to him, "Do not ask me questions. This is the current state of the battlefield. We have no army there in that position. The ranks have broken, and the passageway is empty. Now go and make some arrangements so that the broken line can be temporarily repaired." The officer, instead of asking the commander-in-chief, "How could this be possible to repair the broken line as the army had dispersed and there was no other means of help?" Rather, he immediately got into his car and drove straight to that place where civilian employees worked to fulfill the requirements and needs of the army. There he went and gathered them together and said, "You have shown great passion and enthusiasm to serve your country. Seeing the army fight increased your zeal further. You held the desire in your heart to be of use to your nation. So come forth, for today such an occasion has arisen. Stand forth and line up to fight." They were given the small amount of weapons that was in possession. He took those thousands of civilian employees and positioned them in that place. 24 hours passed in this manner. During this time, the reinforcements reached to that point. In short, worldly people, in times of difficulty, when they see no other means of support and help, try to hold on to the help and succor of God. Strategies and planning aside, they seek the help of God. So when those who are materialistic act in this manner, how much does it behove those who rely and depend completely on Allah the Almighty's help and succor, and should do so, to give attention immensely in this direction? That we should always be giving attention and turning towards God. It is for this reason that Allah the Almighty has taught us this prayer, which we have been ordained to repeat in every prayer, and in every rakat or unit of every prayer, so that we never turn away from God. Only then will we not turn towards worldly help and support. We should never initially think that we should first turn towards worldly help and support, and then to God Almighty after. Certainly, Allah the Almighty has said that apparent means and plans should be made and availed of. However, dependence, reliance, and trust should only be in the being of God. It should not be the case that only when one is caught in the storm at sea, he begins to call out to God, or only when the ranks of the army are broken that one calls out to God. In fact, in every part or unit of every prayer, we should pray the prayer that He has taught us. And He says that you should look towards and give your attention only to Me. And this prayer is, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Thee alone do we worship, and Thee alone do we implore for help. There is a lengthy hadith in which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, when man says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, Allah the Almighty says, "This verse is mutual or common between Me and My servant. I will give to My servant whatever he has supplicated for." Is it not the fortune and blessing of Muslims that Allah the Almighty gives us the guarantee of the acceptance of prayers? However, this will become a perpetual and everlasting guarantee when we keep a permanent eye upon our worship in a dedicated and sincere manner. We should not only turn to prayer when facing difficulties. For even atheists do this. Our prayers should not be of this manner. We should remember that we are Ahmadis. We have taken the bet, the oath of allegiance at the hand of the promised Messiah. We have pledged to channel our every word and deed in accordance with the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. In good times and bad times, at times of ease and comfort, and in times of difficulty, we have pledged to seek help from God alone and to show aversion to anyone other than God. So thus, to fulfill our pledge, just how much do we need to understand the subject matter of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ? We must not only call out to God like the drowning atheist, but we must become like the believers who attain the highest state and pinnacle spiritual condition and acquire the perception and understanding of God the Almighty's help and succor and worship. And after comprehending this, we must act upon it. Who claims that all our strength, all our power and might, and our entire dependence and support all rely completely upon prostrating before God the Almighty? We should assess that what do we have to do to achieve this, and what are we currently doing at this moment in time? Is our standard of worship and our beseeching God the Almighty for His help and succor at that level which God the Almighty has outlined? Or is it the case that otherwise we simply 32 times daily in our prayer supplicate إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ in parrot-like fashion and then leave it at that? We should remember that we are weak whilst our enemy is extremely powerful. To contend with the enemy, we neither have any worldly strength nor resources, nor do we have any other means. So in such a state, we have no other path or way save to prostrate before God the Almighty. Whilst we understand and comprehend the spirit and essence of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, we should fall at the threshold of God the Almighty. Today in the world, satanic assaults have reached their climax and pinnacle. At every turn, difficulties are being placed before us. Even those who call themselves Muslims are intensifying in their enmity against us for why we have accepted the Imam of the time. Non-Muslims also are increasing in their jealousy because the Jamaat has started to draw the attention of the entire world. A small glimpse of this jealousy can be seen just recently in Germany, where we observe the opposition to the Jamaat in the media. Certainly the fire of this jealousy will cause these people to burn in it themselves, inshallah, God willing. However, we must never forsake fulfilling our responsibilities. We must never be negligent in the worship of God and seeking His support and help. For without this, we do not hold the strength to contend with the opponents. And this might and strength is so powerful that no worldly force can compete with it. We should always remember that when God the Almighty stands in support of anyone, He always prevails and succeeds. No worldly strength can stop His progress and success. For God the Almighty's help is all-encompassing and His power is limitless. Neither is the being of God Himself limited, and nor are His attributes. So therefore, it is the task of every Ahmadi to prostrate before Him, as is the duty of every Ahmadi to seek help from Him. This is not only the responsibility of the Ahmadis in Pakistan, for they are embroiled in immense difficulties, or those Ahmadis living in certain Muslim countries. Rather, this is a duty of Ahmadis living in every part of every country of the world, that with complete obedience and submission, they should submit and prostrate before God and beseech him for his help and succor. The Jamaat is certainly strongly bonded together, and should be. This indeed is a distinction of the Jamaat. Without this, the Jamaat cannot be a Jamaat. There is a need for every single person to pray for the other, so that the help of Allah the Almighty can descend at all times, everywhere, with every Ahmadi. When we are able to develop such a state, we will witness the astonishing signs of the help and succor of God. In one place, the promised Messiah on whom be peace says, "Remember, God the Almighty is absolutely and entirely without need, unless one prays profusely and repeatedly, God the Almighty is unconcerned." So therefore, prayers in abundance and praying again and again is the secret of our success. We need to give immense attention and heed towards this. We should pray that whatever difficulties we face, whether it relates to a group or organization that has done so, or a government, or jealous people who have done so to create disorder in the society, whether the media has been utilized or other means to achieve this end, or those people who are engaged in trying to defame the respect and reputation of the Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty help us against all such people. We do not hold any hope or expectation of help from anyone, and nor can we. We should pray that if our errors and mistakes have delayed and averted the help and support of Allah, then may He show mercy to us and forgive us. May He remove us from a state where He is displeased with us, and instead include us amongst those upon whom God's blessings and bounties and rewards always rain down. Those who have true insight and understanding into إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. The promised Messiah on whom be peace says, "Look, Allah the Almighty has taught us إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ." Now it was possible that man relied completely on his own strength and ability and distanced himself from God. Thus the teaching of إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ has been given alongside this, that do not think that the worship you offer of God is with your own strength and faculty. Most certainly this is not the case. Rather, unless the help and succor of God is with you, and unless that holy and pure being of God enables you and grants you strength, nothing can come to pass. Thus, we should always remember this most important reality and truth. May Allah the Almighty enable us to always keep in view, to understand and act upon this most significant subject matter. Once again, I remind you towards prayers, the rapidity with which the state of affairs in the world are transforming. May Allah the Almighty enable for that to be a means of the progress of the Jamaat. May that not be a hindrance in our progress. May we be those who worship God. May we benefit from His help and succor and do so continuously.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.